RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News and News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news for the headlines. The General Elections Commission yet received registration of candidates in 7 regions. Agriculture Minister establishes integrated post to tackle drought. The Indonesia Police Watch, IPW, opposed to defamation articles on President. Now the news in detail. The General Elections Commission, KPU, has not received registration of candidates at the first day of the reopening of the registration in 7 regions which have candidates less than 2 pairs. The KPU Commissioner Hadar Nafis Gumai said in the KPU office in Jakarta on Sunday that until 4 p.m., none of candidates came to the KPU offices in the 7 regions to register. On last Thursday, KPU followed up on the Election Supervisory Board Bawaslu recommendation to extend the registration period for candidates in 7 regions facing a shortage of tickets. Due to Bawaslu's decision, the KPU would reorganize the stages of the election processes, but the election would be held as per schedule on December 9, 2015. The KPU was announced that 7 regions have less than 2 tickets to contest for the simultaneous regional head elections, or Pilkada, scheduled on December 9. The Agriculture Ministry has opened up interagency integrated posts to tackle drought that is predicted to occur until the end of this year. According to Agriculture Minister Amran Sulaiman, crop failure threatens hundreds of thousands of hectares of rice field. Amran said on Monday, the opening of the post involved the police, the TNI, the Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency BMKG, the National Disaster Mitigation Agency BNPB, the National Logistics Agency Bulog, the Agency for the Assessment and Application of Technology BPPT, the Public Works and Public Housing Ministry, the Trade Ministry and the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry. Amran said every 200,000 hectares are under threat of crop failure. The Agriculture Ministry has been building tertiary irrigation network to irrigate fields of 1.3 million hectares since December 2014. The number of water pumps have also been added in regions with large potential as producer of crops such as rice, corn, and soybean. Meanwhile, 2 regions in West Java, Cirebon and Indramayu, received aid of 2 units of large water pumps that can absorb water from large rivers that are not far from field of 11,000 hectares. Meanwhile, Agriculture Ministry has not taken action toward the rise of beef prices in markets. Director General of Livestock and Animal Health of the Ministry of Agriculture, Mulando Basar, said via a short text message on Sunday, currently beef prices in market reach 120,000 per kilogram. The rise of beef prices also made several merchants in traditional markets in Jakarta, Bogor, and Bandung to not to sell the product. The Agriculture Ministry has not decided to increase the number of cow import. Previously, the Agriculture Ministry have submitted to import 50,000 cows. The Trade Ministry has the authority to determine the need for additional stocks, Molando said. chairman of Indonesia's Cattle and Buffalo Breeder Association, Teguh Budiana, said that the government should be responsible for the rise of beef prices. To ensure that there were no tricks from importers, the Trade Ministry should perform checkups toward companies that fatten cows. The Indonesian Police Watch, IPW, said the government should not include the defamation articles on Presiden into the criminal code, KUHP. IPW Presidium Chairman Neta Espane said in Jakarta on Sunday that there are two reasons for the IPW to reject the implementation of the defamation articles. The first is that the articles have been scrapped by the Constitutional Court, MK. The second reason is that if the articles are implemented, it will discriminate citizens. Before the law, all citizens, including the president, are equal. The position of all citizens are equal before the law so that it is not appropriate to give a legal privilege to the president. Giving a legal privilege to the president is equal to discriminating citizens and the law itself. There have been articles on defamation and insult in the criminal code, so there is no need to implement a defamation article on president. Every August 10th is celebrated as Veterans Day. Indonesian government has provided retirement benefits for veterans. Related to the issue, Chairman of Invalidity Veteran Corps of the Republic of Indonesia, Supranoto, to RRI World Service recently in Jakarta said, the government has consistently provided salaries for veterans.
Mengikutsertakan anggota pangkat 10 ialah di Taman Pahlawan, Kalibata.
The government's attention is good, but the veteran disability pensions recipients got an underfunds every month, now 750,000. The retired veterans receive retirement benefits 50% of the determined budget. Meanwhile, Yayang, member of the veterans who settled in Tangerang, Banten, asked the government to make it easier for veterans' children to obtain employment. The expectation of the veterans has not been met, especially during the current leadership. Veterans actually are now only a few more people. So please concern of well-being, especially families, children, and veterans' wife as well. Veteran children should be employable because many children of veterans do not work. In addition, Yayang also said the government should be more concerned about the plight of veterans by increasing income of pensioners, given the increasing cost of basic necessities like nowadays. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The National Agency for Disaster Management, BNPB, has asked the people not to worry about the upcoming drought as a result of El Nino heatwave. BNPB predicts that the Pacific storm will likely end in October and that rainy season will kick off in November. In response to the extreme drought, BNPB plans to generate artificial rains in seven regions from Sumatra to Nusa Tenggara. The agency has prepared in total of 200 billion rupiah to cope with the matter. Samsul Ma'arif, head of BNPB, said that within 2 days, planes will be ready to help generate artificial rain. The Air Force have prepared 2 planes, while Agriculture Ministry has prepared 1. Moreover, the Agriculture Ministry has also built 1.3 hectares of tertiary irrigation and provided water pumps. The last item, an Indonesian Marine Expedition team will raise the national flag on Kartens Peak, the highest peak of Jayawijaya Mountains in Papua, on the country's Independence Day on August 17th. The coordinating Maritime Affairs Minister, Indroyono Susilo, during a discharge ceremony at the Marines headquarters in Cilandak, South Jakarta, recently, as quoted by Tempo.co, that the red and white flag will be raised there to prove the Indonesia's sovereignty below the sea as well as on top of the mountain. Led by Lieutenant Colonel Ferry Marpaung, the expedition team comprises 19 Marine officers, 10 tramp club hiking community members, and 6 journalists. They are scheduled to depart tomorrow and to return on August 21st. Nestled 4,884 meters above sea level, Carlton's Peak is one of the highest peaks in the world. It is well known for its permanent snow as it is covered in a tropical glacier. From Jakarta, the team's itinerary includes trips to Timika, Sugapa, Ugimba, Tambua prior to Carlton's. According to one of the members, Sabar Gorki, the climbing will start via the Timika Trail, which is part of PT Freeport Indonesia mining area. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. The General Elections Commission yet received registration of candidates in 7 regions. Agriculture Minister establishes integrated post to tackle drought. The Indonesian Police Watch opposed to defamation articles on President. That was the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary entitling Respecting National Anthem. A national newspaper reported that Kiai Maimun Zubair, an elderly traditional leader of the biggest Indonesian Islamic organization, Nahdlatul Ulama, chose to stand up from his wheelchair when the National Anthem Indonesia Raya was sung at the opening of the 3rd Nahdlatul Ulama Muktamar or Congress on July the 1st. Although his age is already 86, Mahmun, as he is familiarly called, still tried to stand as a symbol of respect to this nation. Alisa Wahid, a daughter of an Nahdlatul Ulama figures, the late Gus Dur, uploaded photos related to that interesting moment. She was touched by Mahmun's gestures, who insisted to stand up while leaning to a stick. In other part of the news, activist Fadrul Rahman, as a fairly well-known cleric, to follow Mahmun's example, who, he said, had shown a high sense of nationalism. The cleric, through a social media, had stated that defending nationalism has no basis in Islam, because there is no argument nor guidance about it. In defending Islam, he said, the reward was clear, and there had been many examples. As a great nation, Indonesian people must carefully look at the matter and interpret it. The issue of religion and respect for the national anthem should be properly placed and not be confused. If not, it could be fatal, for it might damage national resilience and unity, religious harmony, and lead to the disintegrations of the nation. A cleric as a religious leader must understand and be wise in addressing the problems of nationality. Never forget that this nation become independent thanks to the freedom fighters who, in fact, were always close to the Creator. Their worship was full of sincerities and hope, without counting the promised reward. What was in their minds was God would soon liberate this country. In a free country, people could worship more seriously and comfortably. It is natural that Mahmun bothered to struggle and stand up from his wheelchair while listening to the national anthem, Indonesia Raya. Although he is a referred to senior cleric among Nahdlatul Ulama, yet he still showed his respect. He demonstrated to the younger generation how to keep honoring the heroes of this nation no matter what. Maybe he also wanted to show the cleric, who incidentally still young in age, to put the talk on religion and nationality proportionally. Indonesian nation can now worship comfortably without having to worry about being chased by others. This is all because the result of the sacrifice of the freedom fighters who gave their lives for the independence of this nation. So, it is only appropriate that the Indonesian people thank and honor those patriots by standing upright while listening to the national anthem, Indonesia Raya. It is actually also a moment to reflect and express gratitude to the Lord and honor those who have fought for the independence of this nation. That was commentary.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular children history over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on August 10, 1937, when the Second Sino-Japanese War started. The Second Sino-Japanese War, July 7, 1937 until September 9, 1945, so named due to the First Sino-Japanese War of 1894-1895, was a military conflict fought primarily between the Republic of China and the Empire of Japan from 1937 to 1941. China fought Japan with some economic help from Germany, the Soviet Union, and the United States. After the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor in 1941, the war would merge into the greater conflict of World War II as a major front of what is broadly known as the Pacific War. The Second Sino-Japanese War was the largest Asian war in the 20th century. It also made up more than 90% of the casualties in the Pacific War. The war was the result of a decades-long Japanese imperialist policy aimed at expanding its influence politically and militarily in order to secure access to raw material reserves and other economic resources in the area, particularly food and labor, and engage war with others in the policy context of aggressive modernized militarism in the Asia-Pacific at the height of Imperial Rule Assistance Association Hideki Tojo cabinet and with the order from Emperor Showa. Before 1937, China and Japan fought in small localized engagements, so-called incidents. In 1931, the Japanese invasion of Manchuria by Japan's Kwantung Army followed the Mukden Incident. The last of these incidents was the Marco Polo Bridge Incident of 1937, which marked the beginning of total war between the two countries. And the next event was in 1955, when Gatot Kaca M250 aircraft, manufactured by PT Industri Pesawat Terbang Nusantara, held test fly for the first time. This moment was commemorated at Indonesian National Technology Awakening Day. The National Technology Awakening Day was firstly commemorated when Indonesia succeeded in holding flying test on Gatot Kaca N250 aircraft manufactured by PT Industri Pesawat Terbang Nusantara for the first time on August 10, 1955. This success was the real evidence of achievement of Indonesian people in efforts to develop, implement, and master the science technology, especially in the field of aerospace. Therefore, in accordance with the decision of President of the Republic of Indonesia No. 71 of 1995, August 10 was decided as the National Technology Awakening Day. And the last event was in 1973, when President Suharto inaugurated the start of the restoration of Borobudur Temple. Borobudur is the 9th century Mahayana Buddhist temple in Magelang, Sarajava, Indonesia. The monument consists of 9 stacked platforms, 6 square and 3 circular, topped by a central dome. The temple is decorated with 2,672 relief panels, and 504 Buddha statues. The central dome is surrounded by 72 Buddha statues, which seated inside a perforated stupa. It is the world's largest Buddhist temple, as well as one of the greatest Buddhist monuments in the world. Borobudur has since been preserved through several restorations. The restoration then was carried out between 1907 and 1911, using the principles of anastilosis and led by Theodor van Erp. In the late 1960s, the Indonesian government had requested from the international community a major renovation to protect the monument. In 1973, a master plan to restore Borobudur was created. On August 10, 1973, President Suharto inaugurated the start of the restoration of Borobudur Temple. The Indonesian government and UNESCO then undertook the complete overhaul of the monument in a big restoration project between 1975 and 1982. This colossal project involved around 600 people to restore the monument and cost a total of 6,901,243 US dollars. After the renovation was finished, UNESCO listed Borobudur as a World Heritage Site in 1991. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia and Jakarta with Focus. For today's edition, it's on bilateral relation between Indonesia and Australia improve post-death penalty. Bilateral relation between Indonesia and Australia began to enter a new phase which previously had been less harmonious due to the executions of an Australian citizens by the Indonesian government related to the drugs crime a few months ago. This was demonstrated by the foreign ministers of both countries, who met for the first time after the issue on the sidelines of the 48th Asian Foreign Ministerial Meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, recently. In a brief bilateral meeting, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, and her Australian counterpart, Julie Bishop, agreed to move forward and strengthen relations between the two countries. This was announced by Minister Retno LP Marsudi during a media statement in Kuala Lumpur afterwards.
Saya dan Menteri Luar Negeri Julie Bishop melakukan pertemuan yang saya kira sangat
I and Foreign Minister Julie Bishop held the meeting, which I think is very productive. And the main thing that my good friends Julie Bishop and I agreed on to move forward together to improve and strengthen bilateral relations. According to Minister Retno LP Marsudi, in the meeting, the two foreign ministers agreed to strengthen bilateral relations in various fields, such as in education and accordance with the Colombo Plan, and will start again dialogue meeting between Indonesia and Australia. In addition, she also said that in order to improve bilateral relations, every month there will be a Minister of Australia who comes to Indonesia until the end of 2015. At the beginning of December 2015, there will be a meeting of a 2+2, which is a meeting between Minister of Foreign Affairs and Minister of Defence of Indonesia and Australia. Meanwhile, in the same occasion, Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop said that the relationship between Indonesia and Australia will always be strong because it has been facing challenges from time to time, especially after the outcry from the Australian government against the Indonesian government related to the impositions of the death penalty. According to Foreign Minister Julie Bishop, in addition to the 2+2 meeting, the Australian government will also bring a business delegation to Indonesia. As a proof of the seriousness of the Australian government in improving bilateral relations with Indonesia, it is planning to open a consulate general office in Makassar, South Sulawesi, which has been conveyed to the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, either by mail or directly in a bilateral meeting. The Australian Foreign Minister also mentions about the Colombo Plan, which has been known by many students in Indonesia. According to Foreign Minister Julie Bishop, Colombo Plan is an initiative of Australian government which aims to improve the knowledge of the Indo-Pacific in Australia by studying and doing internship in the region.
Australia became the main destination countries for Indonesian students to study abroad at present, and their number reached more than 17,000. Listener, that was Focus, Sabah Rural Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Nikoka Sumawati.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. The General Elections Commission, KPU, has not received registration of candidates at the first day of the reopening of the registration in seven regions, which have candidates less than two pairs. The Agriculture Ministry has opened up inter-agency integrated posts to tackle drought that is predicted to occur until the end of this year. Meanwhile, Agriculture Ministry has not taken action toward the rise of beef prices in markets. Director General of Livestock and Animal Health of the Ministry of Agriculture, Mulando Basar, said via a short text message on Sunday, currently, beef prices in markets reach ₹120,000 per kilogram. The Indonesian Police Watch said the government should not include the defamation articles on President into the criminal code, and IPW Presidium Chairman Neta Espane said in Jakarta on Sunday that there are two reasons for the IPW to reject the implementation of the defamation articles. Every August 10th is celebrated as Veterans Day. Indonesian government has provided retirement benefits for veterans. The National Agency for Disaster Management, BNPB, has asked the people not to worry about the upcoming drought as a result of El Nino heat wave. An Indonesian Marine Expedition team will raise the national flag on Carstens Peak, the highest peak of Jayawijaya Mountains in Papua, on the country's Independence Day on August 17th. That was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In conjunction with the 70th Indonesia's Independence Day, which falls on August 17, in today's edition we'll feature Mandala Bhakti Museum in Semarang, Central Java. So stay tuned. Listener, we cannot gain independence for free. It requires struggle and sacrifice. And to gain the independence, it requires all elements of Indonesian society, including Indonesian soldiers or military. The evidence of the Indonesian military struggle can be seen at Museum Perjuangan Mandala Bhakti in Semarang, Central Java. This museum also shows Indonesian military's participation in the world's peace missions. Listener, Perjuangan Mandala Bhakti Museum is located on Jalan Sugia Pranata No. 1, exactly facing Tugu Muda Semarang Monument. The museum building looks luxurious. Its foundation is made from stones with plastered brick wall. The roof is pyramid-shaped, covered with tiles. There is a porch in front part alongside of the building, both on the first floor and the second floor. The two-story building was designed by the Dutch architects Cor E. from Firma Oijmen and Van Leeuwen. The building, which was built around the 1930s, previously functioned as Raad van Justitie, or the Dutch High Court. When the Dutch surrendered to Japan, this building was used as Japanese military headquarters, Kenpetai, in 1942. After the Indonesian independence, precisely in 1950, this building was used as Defense Headquarters Region 2 Regional Military Command 4 Diponegoro, and in 1985 it was officially used to be museum which restore collections around data, documentation, Indonesian military's weapons, both traditional or modern. Listener, to enter Perjuangan Mandala Bhakti Museum is free of charge, but for group visit, there will be charge for preservation fund of the building. Entering the building yard, you will find a large inscription containing Sapta Marga. In addition, in front of the museum, Mandala Bhakti, there is heavy weapon of PDR-25 field gun, which is in good condition. One of the collections of high historical value is an ancient type of Luger pistol and machine gun Browning. This weapon is believed to be used in a five-day combat in Semarang. The museum also has an amazing collection of Indonesian military artifacts and photographs of Indonesian heroes. Listener, at Mandala Bhakti Museum, collections such as data, documentation, historical stuffs are placed in server rooms. At Jatmu or weapon and ammunition room, for example, various weapons to defend and keep Indonesian security are stored. At GAMAD or Army's uniform room, various clothes of historical evidence are displayed. All clothes are original, which in the past were worn and preserved until now. While at events room, there are historical notes of various struggle events in the country. At another room of the museum, there is preservation room for Commander of Military Regents Office. This room is used as Commander's Office from time to time. There is also Military Music Unit's room, which contains military's musical instruments. Then there is also a Public Kitchen Unit describing public kitchen in the colonial period. While the Veteran Disabled Room stores health equipment for the veteran who were defected while defending the country. This museum also has auditorium, laboratory, library, conservation, and information room. This museum opens from 8 until 12 local time on Monday until Friday. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder featuring Mandala Bhakti Museum in Semarang, South Java. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting place to visit. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Membuat Sup Ayam, which is in English means cooking chicken soup. Stay tuned. Listener, as usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice loudly and you can repeat after me. Suami. Suami, which means husband. Tidak enak badan. Tidak enak badan, which means unwell. Ke kantor. Ke kantor, which means to the office. Or going to work. Sup ayam. Sup ayam, which means chicken soup. Daging ayam. Daging ayam, which means chicken meat. Wortel, which means carrot. Kentang. Kentang, which means potato. Bawang merah. Bawang merah, which means red onion. Seledri. Seledri, which means celery. Daun bawang. Daun bawang, which means leek. Merica. Merica, which means pepper. Jahe. Jahe, which means ginger. Garam. Garam, which means salt. Sederhana. Sederhana, which means simple. Lezat. Lezat, which means delicious. Mudah. Mudah, which means easy or simple. Minyak. Minyak, which means cooking oil. Potongan. Potongan, which means piece. Ditumis. Ditumis, which means salted. Diiris. Diiris, sliced. Sayuran. Sayuran, which means vegetables. Menaburi. Menaburi, which means sprinkle. bawang goreng. Bawang goreng, which means fried onion. Sup panas. Sup panas, which means hot soup. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Membuat Sup Ayam, or in English means cooking chicken soup. The conversation is between A. Rita and B. Erna at home. A. Rita, saya besok pagi jam 6 mau ke pasar. Saya besok pagi jam 6 mau ke pasar, which means I want to go to the market at 6 tomorrow morning. Apakah kamu juga mau ke pasar? Apakah kamu juga mau ke pasar? Which means, I want to go to the market at 6 tomorrow morning. B. Erna, mengapa harus pagi-pagi? Mengapa harus pagi-pagi? Which means, why should be in the morning? Kamu mau membeli apa? Kamu mau membeli apa? Which means, what do you want to buy? A. Rita, suami saya sedang tidak enak badan. Suami saya sedang tidak enak badan. Which means, my husband is not well. Dia sedang flu. Dia sedang flu. Which means, he got flu. Oleh karena itu, sebelum berangkat ke kantor, saya mau membuatkan sup ayam. Oleh karena itu, sebelum berangkat ke kantor, saya mau membuatkan sup ayam. Which means, so before I go to work, I want to cook chicken soup for him.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, I present you Kus Plus Music Group. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Terang Bulan by Kus Plus. Here is the song. Dendam kroncong ini Blues Plus is one of the Indonesian music group formed in 1969 after the then Kus Bersaudara group. The music group, which was famous in the late of 1970s, is often regarded as the pioneer of pop music and rock and roll in Indonesia. Until now, this band still occasionally perform music by singing their old songs. In the last June 2015, Yon and Yakuswoyo performed in a concert entitled Live Concert Duet The Legend, 55 years Yon and Yakuswoyo's works at the Empire Palace, Surabaya. Appeared about an hour non-stop, the stamina of the two Kus Plus personnel, aged 75 years and 72 years, still look excellent. The duo brought Kus Plus songs that have been familiar at Kusmania ears. Among others, Kembali ke Jakarta or Back to Jakarta, Hidup yang Sepi or Quiet Life, Hatimu Hatiku or My Heart, Your Heart, Tul Jainak, Pelangi or Rainbow, Ayah or Daddy, Buat Apa Susah, Why It Should Be Difficult, Kisah Sedih di Hari Minggu or Sad Story on Sunday, and Japada Nelangsa and also Diana. Well, listener, there are many Kus Plus songs sung by many other musicians with new arrangements. They are Lex Trio, who released a special album by re-singing Kus Plus songs. Cintamu Telah Berlalu or Your Love Passed Over by Krize, as well as Manis dan Sayang or Sweet and Dear by Kahitna. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next Kroncong song entitled Senja Demi Senja by Kus Plus. Have a listening.
Senja ini ku menanti kasihku kembali. Kau di mana? Hatiku bisa menanti. Senja ini bunga-bunga tak lagi berseri. Namun aku tetap setia dan menunggu.
The song tells about a man who longed and waited for her lover. She had waited for several days, but her lover has never come. In last April 2014, a book, Kisah Dari Hati Kus Plus or The Story from the Heart of Kus Plus, was launched in Jakarta. The book contains records for 44 years of friendship between the author, Ai Suhana, with the music group. Ai Suhana said process of making the book began in 1996. According to him, there have been a lot of interesting things that can be raised about Kus Plus. Ice admitted having trouble when choosing things that will be featured in the book. Ian Antonio, a musician and songwriter who was present at the launch of the book, says the book that contains traveling musicians is indeed necessary to appreciate the work and raise the spirit of the music industry in Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Cincin and Andaikan. Happy listening, sampai jumpa, and bye-bye.
Lihatlah.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.